move on to the treasurer's report.
Thank you very much. You know, I will tell you, I'll just say some brief comments, and then if it's okay, move into the recommendations, because I think really my report is the recommendations here as we're working to wrap up the year. But first and foremost, I want to thank the board for allowing the flexibility of having this meeting today. Sometimes people ask, you know, why do we have a meeting on June 30th, or in this case, June 29th? And really what it is it allows us a last opportunity to get our books all tidied up and in place for audit. Anything that happens before June 30th, we're able to correct. So we're able to work through everything and try to make sure it's accurate and reflects properly for the district. But if we wait until after June 30th, we no longer have that opportunity by law to make any corrections. So I sincerely appreciate the board being flexible to schedule the meeting today and allowing us to have this meeting to work through these things, giving us the most amount of time. I also want to just say thank you to our administration. I think I've worked with each and every one of the administrators here over these past 2 weeks as we're trying to, again, make sure that we're reflecting everything accurately, closing out POs that we don't need open anymore, charging people the right accounts, different things like that. So it's been a challenging couple of weeks for my staff, but they've done a nice job, and I feel we're in a very good place. So if I can move into my recommendations, I am going to take a little bit more time than I normally do to go through each one and explain why we're at with each one of them and what they mean to the district. So we'll start here with then and now certificates. First and foremost, I want to remind everyone that then and nows are not necessarily exceeding what we had expected. It's simply the invoice, date of an invoice is before the date of a purchase order. And that happens sometimes, and an example of that would be, you know, the first two from the city of Westlake where, you know, we had a salt, you know, PO in place and we needed more salt because things carried on a little farther. Some of the weather carried a little farther this year than it has in the past. Same thing with additional fuel. We went over a little bit more on the fuel than we had anticipated. Working through, we've had some non-public school purchases like the Cannon Press. We do operate auxiliary services for three schools within Westlake City School District boundaries. So we act as their fiscal agent for auxiliary services and the grants. So just like for us, we need to have POs in place. They need to as well. And if they have a situation where a PO is dated after that invoice, we need to have the approval for that as well. We have a couple things on the ESC, or a few things on the ESC, one with a substitute and some OLLP and some IDEA services. Again, nothing out of the ordinary, with the exception of maybe the psychologist substitute, but we contract through the ESC for some of our psychologists, and we had one of our psychs leave this year, I believe, and we filled the, you know, for the remainder of the year, and we obviously have to pay for that. The, you know, two that jump out here are the electric charges with the illuminating company. We are running a little higher than we had anticipated in our utilities. Mr. Kosovar is working to analyze this year's data through a government-provided Energy Star website, trying to get a little bit of insight on exactly why. We know rates are up slightly, but you know, we'll have to consider, you know, we try to use our buildings quite a bit. And while we have, what this may not reflect is when we're using the building for outside organizations, we charge permit fees and, you know, our expenses will go up, but we also have some revenue coming in. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to see it, but you know, they do jump out in the list here. PSI there is what Scott was talking about, the construction testing. Again, as we're trying to just get some older POs taken care of, or invoices. This was actually an invoice that I believe was found from December that just wasn't paid in our review, our records review of that. We have strategic solutions. This is the scanning. The board's already approved this contract and the appropriations for it. Again, it was just the invoice was dated before the PO was in place. And then finally, we have some suburban school transportation. Again, this is an area that we've seen throughout the year a little bit higher. We are working to reduce some of those costs or at least the outsourcing of those costs to Suburban. We have purchased two new minivans this year to hopefully reduce some of the need for the outside contracted service. Moving down, you know, this is probably the one resolution on here that I'm most happy about. We're returning some money back to general fund. So we have some advances that we've made throughout the year that we're just returning money back. So we have a small advance from the wellness fund in Title 6B. We also have Title 2. Those are our, Title 6B and Title 2 are federal grants. We, earlier in the year, we advanced money for the stadium turf lease that we have. We did receive our payment from UH earlier this year, so that allows us to return the advance back to general fund. And then finally, we have a straight A grant. This is a state grant for College Credit Plus. Again, it was last fiscal year we had advanced money at the end of the fiscal year to make sure we weren't in the negative. Did not return the advance, and in reviewing our records, we want to make sure we get that returned back to general fund, because we do have the money in that grant now. Moving on to advance funds, this is a little bit larger of an area here of, and I apologize, it doesn't look great up on the screen there, but we've got several areas that we need to make advances in. Legally speaking, I'm not allowed to end the fiscal year in any of our funds in the negative. So in order to do that, we advance money into those funds. Remember, again, just like we're returning the advances in the previous resolution, these advances will be returned as well. The advances that I'm looking at this year and asking the board to consider is a advance to Project Link. I've met extensively with Mike Waters, our Project Link coordinator. Our expenses are running a little bit higher in Project Link this year. We've had some, an example would be as spring break, Camp Link, their enrollment was down significantly. Not 100% sure why. It could be people, just more people took vacations this year than, you know, in the past. But the good thing is right now the enrollment for summer Camp Link is up. So we have, I don't have an immediate concern that we would not, that we're risking this money to where we would not get it back. But he and I are going to be working closely to ensure that we can start building those reserves up a little bit more in Project Link so that we don't have to advance again next year. We also have some federal grants. So the federal grants, Title 6B is IDEA, special education. Title 3 is our limited English proficiency. Title 1 is our reading and math. 587 is the early childhood special education. And Title 2A is used for, it's called Improving Teacher Quality. I think we do it as a classroom reduction, helps offset a cost of a teacher. In each of those areas, these are federal grants that we have a commitment from the state and the federal government that we will be reimbursed for this. But again, we've had expenses at the end of this year. We've also had encumbrances, and that's why an example with Title 6B IDEA is higher than, we're not $137,000 in the hole. We're a couple thousand in the hole, but we've got about $130,000 in encumbrances, meaning we have POs outstanding for those. I take the stance that I don't want to show any of our accounts in the negative for either our expenses or our expenses plus our encumbrances. So this is just covering us to make sure that it wouldn't be questioned at all. If we don't incur those POs, meaning we don't realize those, we can just cancel the POs, no big deal. Money comes back right into our pocket immediately. If we do incur those expenses, we simply put in for reimbursement over the next several months. We have until the end of September to file our paperwork on federal grants. The last two that we have there are one for Dover Elementary school supplies. They had ordered some supplies at the end of the year that they charge for, that you'll see in some of the academic fees as we get down in another resolution. They are in the hole a little bit right now. We know that money will be coming in at the beginning of the year as we assess those fees, so I'm asking for the advance there. And then finally, we have the community education. This is also run through Project Link. It's the tutoring program that's done, and it's again a situation where it's not in the hole on a cash basis, but it's in the hole because of a PO. So I am asking for a small advance there to just make sure we're covered in those situations. I do have a couple of transfers that I'm asking the board to consider. A transfer is different than an advance. A transfer is what I give an analogy of a gift. We're not going to get a transfer back. So the first one is a general fund to a wellness fund, okay? I'm asking that we transfer $14,242. The reason for this is we were given a grant through Suburban Health Consortium, our healthcare consortium, for this exact amount of $14,242. We've already taken it as a deduction on our payment, so this is not added expense to the board in any way. This is simply, we took the deduction for this grant from SHC out of our payment. I am asking the board to move it into a separate fund, though, a 9018 account, which will allow us to track it separately to make sure that we use it for its intended purposes. There's also two other advances. They're simply from one grant fiscal year 17 to fiscal year 18, for both of those two grants. This is a situation in those two grants. We ended the fiscal year, we ended the grant year, which is September 30th, okay, with cash on hand, and we were given the okay from the state to move those funds to this fiscal year. So to move the funds formally, I just need board approval to move them from one grant to the other. Moving on, we have permanent appropriations. Permanent appropriations. I have up here on the screen. Again, I understand it's very, very small. It is available on board docs, publicly available for anyone to go in and open up and see. I will point out that on our permanent appropriations, if we look at the bottom line or near the bottom line there of up on the screen of our total general fund of $51,700. I'm sorry, $51,700,000. That would be much better there. $51,700,000. We are just raising appropriations by a little less than $60,000 from where the board approved it in April. Additionally, if we look up a little bit on the second column from the right, under contingency 7100 line, I have put in $74,000 of some contingencies there. To be very honest, this is one of those that just in case type situation as we look to close our books over the next week. And really, I just made it that number to round up to the next easy number to round to. So I have no reason to believe that we would be using any of that money at this time, but I have put it in there just in case as we work to actually finalize our books. We will do that beginning Monday. The other piece that I want to point out on there, that when we consider our appropriations and compare it to our forecast that we approved back in May, again, I want to give a quick reminder that our May forecast, we did not change our expenditures. So really, we can say that this is also the same as our October forecast. And so for the entire year, we're actually coming in at about $350,000 less than what we forecast to spend for this year. So, and then when we throw in the additional $74,000 in contingency that I'm hoping we don't use at all, we'd be somewhere around $425,000. So we've been able to maintain our expenditures a little bit better. You'll see that going across some of the lines there in salaries, we were almost spot on exactly from our $30 million estimate. We came in just about $6,000 underneath that. So out of $30 million, that's a pretty good bullseye target there. We did over, and quite purposely, we overestimated on benefits. And fortunately, we came in significantly under on benefits by about $844,000. But on purchase services, this is the area where we briefly spoke about utilities. The one other thing that we've talked about throughout this year is some of the things that we can't control in purchase services are tuition to other school districts. That could be the John Peterson Scholarship that we've seen a dramatic increase this year in. That could be charter school enrollment, including online schools. There's been a lot of information going around lately, and I appreciate Dr. Winter sharing some information with the board about over the past, I think it was the past 7 years, over the past 7 years, we're about $700,000 mm-hmm. that we lost that was directly taken from Westlake City Schools funds and given to ECOT for students enrolled at ECOT. You know, and what's quite amazing about that is, as I went back and pulled all the numbers on that, we're not talking about a lot of students who went. You're looking at maybe an average of about 12 students a year who attended ECOT. And over that time period, we lost $700,000+. So it adds up, it compounds very, very quickly. And, you know, and unfortunately, we don't have a direct way to control those expenses. So some of those expenses that we went over, $644,000 over our forecast in purchase services, is directly tied to some of those expenses we just have no control over. Moving over to supplies, we are under on supplies. Again, we over appropriated purposely, or overestimated on our forecast purposely, in supplies. And we did that as we purchased some supplies for next year. We knowingly purchased them in this calendar, or in this fiscal year, in order to have them by the start of the school year without having to a mad rush in July here to get ordering done. But we're still about $270,000 under what we had anticipated. We're also $82,000 under our equipment. And then we have miscellaneous expenditures, our 800 level, where we have mostly what goes into our 800 level is some of our fiscal services. We'll have auditing fees, we'll have fees from the state, county fees. We pay the county treasurer, county auditor to collect taxes, those type of things. That's the main piece of that there. And that's about $160,000 less than we had anticipated. The one area that we're higher that does not concern me at all is in our advances and transfers. I just put on the forecast, we don't expect to have very much, but we do it and we get the money back. So it's not a major concern for me. So on the forecast, when we compare appropriations to the forecast, I'm very, very happy on where we've come up this year. And this is very much to the credit of Dr. Goggin and the administrative team, who has worked very hard to control costs in the district. So I give them a lot of credit for that. The second page of that is our other funds, our non-general fund funds. I guess instead of going through each of these, because they're a little bit different, we handle these mostly on cash basis, so it's not as much of a concern. But if you have questions on those, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. When you look at this in totality, we're looking at about $103 million, million of appropriations this year. So, you know, we're running a fairly large district by all accounts, and that number will go down as we start using that the building project and start paying the bills more and more. We're only a few million dollars in expenses, you know, so we appropriate the full amount, but we have not spent nearly that. Any questions on permanent appropriations? Yep.
I know you, as relates to the purchase services, I know you gave a variety of different ones, but can you tell me what would be the two main drivers that increased the, maybe that's a big variance from forecast to now, percentage-wise, and dollar-wise.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know you listed a whole bunch, but are there one or two main that had the list, top of the list?
You know, off the top of my head, I believe we're 100+ thousand dollars over on John Peterson than we were last year.
On John what?
On John Peterson scholarship.
Okay.
This is, you know, we can get into the political argument of unfunded or underfunded mandates, but they've opened up this scholarship opportunity for any student who qualifies on special ed to use district public funds to offset private education. There's no way we can anticipate those costs.
Yeah.
If a student, they don't necessarily have to tell us that they're going to be going to a private school. If they do, not only do we have to give them money to go there, we also have to send our staff to do the assessments for their IEP, which is even more added cost to us. It's a stunning situation. So, you know, that would be about $100,000 right there. I will say that utilities were, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 higher on utilities than we anticipated. Now, one of those is we had a phone bill for about $50,000 with AT&T that I explained to the board at the last board meeting. This is a outstanding bill that we have fought for 6 years, have gotten down from nearly $100,000. But, you know, it's an added expense, you know, this year. So we've had some of those in those areas. Other ones, our tuition that we pay out to other schools is slightly higher with our community school tuition that we're paying. You know, those would be our driving areas. Also, while Stephanie does a really nice job trying to offset the costs of special education and use our grants as much as possible to do that, there's added costs there that, you know, again, we weren't necessarily prepared for. A new student moves into the district, attends a school for autism, and you could, you know, I think this year we had it where we had a new student come in, and that's about $100,000 when you consider transportation and tuition for that school. So,
okay. I know our purchase services for years have been very, very high.
They have.
And to see a big variance like that at the end of the school year is.
And I'm happy to get a more detailed breakdown on it to try to show exactly where, you know, the big numbers are coming from. I would be about 90% confident that the ones that we just went over would be the majority of what the variance is.
Thank you, Ty.
Can we do that in our next finance meeting?
Absolutely. Moving on to temporary appropriations. In order to start the year, we have to have temporary appropriations in place. By law, we're allowed to work on temporary appropriations, I believe, through the end of September. And we'll be updating temporary appropriations throughout the next couple of months in order to operate the district. The standard that I've used in the past, and I've used here again and asking the board to consider, is I take our temporary appropriations for general fund and multiply it by 70%. Or I use our permanent, multiply it by 70% to give us our temporary appropriations. So while we look to get started with the year, we put in 70% because some areas, obviously salary, we're not going to spend 70% in the next 2 months. But in some areas we may, where we're ordering our books, you know, for the upcoming school year or something like that. So, you know, that's the general guideline that I use. So out of our $52 million of permanent appropriations, we have about $36 million for temporary appropriations on general fund. Obviously, I have the line item in there comparing it to our FY19 forecast, but that doesn't really play out right now as these are just temporaries. Additionally, when we look at other funds, we only have temporary appropriations right now based on our amended certificate from Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County sets what we're allowed, maximum amounts we're allowed to spend. The Budget Commission does, and until we finalize our books for this year and certify our unencumbered balances for those other funds, we have very limited funds to spend in other accounts. So we're required to certify our fund balance by, I believe, July 20th. So we'll get a new temporary appropriation at our next meeting, or our July regular meeting, to update some of the numbers there. There's no questions. Moving on from temporary appropriations, we have some student fees. Like we did earlier this year or last year, last summer, I am asking the board to approve student fees for this upcoming school year. Ms. Maxwell and Mr. Fleming have done a wonderful job getting the different building principals together and putting our fees together, trying to make sure that we're covering all the fees that we're actually charging here in the district make sure we have board approval on those fees. You'll see that, you know, the fees here, we're not, this is not a money-making venture for the district. This is to offset actual costs that are incurred, and in some cases, less than actual costs incurred, but to offset what we are incurring. And specifically, the fees are charged for students for what they're receiving. So in ceramics, you know, they're going to be, you know, making something, and so we charge a small fee to help offset the cost of clay. Jewelry, they do. Again, they keep these items that they make. The workbooks and magazines, the students get to keep. Polos, things like that. You'll have situations or dry cleaning because they're using the robes and choir and stuff, or the marching band. So we've got the fee breakdown there of each of the buildings, and we do have it broken down by building. In some cases where you see two buildings, you'll see that in the elementary school. Let's get down to, you may see a difference between, you know, first grade, you know, is paying $5 or whatever the fee is here, and another building is paying slightly different. It's because they're getting different materials from Scholastic or another vendor there. It's not because we're just charging different fees at the different buildings. So it is based on what they're actually receiving, so. So